Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 26. Title tonight is Effortless Change. Change. How many people want change in your life? All right. Well, you know, change don't have to be stressful. All right. We make it stressful, but it don't have to be stressful. But anyway, it says here in verse 26, it says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by day and raise by day, sleep by night and raise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it to the sickle because the harvest has come." You know, and I guess everybody wants change. I want to change. I don't want to be the same way I was 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And especially now, you know, where it's a new year, it's a time to start over. You know, things are just going to be changing in Washington, and new administration's coming in. And there's this expectation of change. And I just believe it's part of man's image to change. I don't think God created us to stay stagnant. God put something on the inside of us in a natural knowledge that we're destined for more than what we're experiencing now. God wants us to have more. And that's for believers and unbelievers too. That desire to achieve more. And even those that experience great success, you just take a look at a guy like, well, Donald Trump, or you look like a Bill Gates or any one of these guys. Let me tell you, if I had Bill Gates' money, I wouldn't want to do nothing. But that's not a true statement, because there's something inside of you that's put there by God that it doesn't matter how much you have, you want to change. Amen. You know, my brothers are both retired. They spend their winters in Florida. But they're always looking to, they're in their 80s, and they're always looking to do something different. It was 15 years ago, I get a call from my brother, and it was like the day before Christmas here. And Florida says, "Come on over to my house." I said, "Oh," I came over there. He goes, "We just bought Casino Pier." I said, "Okay. Why?" He says, "Because we just had to." That was like his, and it says we couldn't pass up the price for it, you know, at that point. But there's always this, they didn't need a casino pier or anything like that. They were set for the rest of their life. You understand what I'm saying? But there's something in each one of us that wants to see change and wants us to move on. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you have nothing, if you're the homeless person living under a bridge, or you're the richest guy in the world, you want to change.
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay? And that those that are born again, us, that are Christians, that desire intensifies in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us I like to call it a holy dissatisfaction that drives us towards to change ourselves. Okay? Once we realize that God lives in us, and we have to understand that God lives in us and wants to express himself through us. God wants to express himself through us. It's hard, if not impossible, to be content with where you're at. Okay? And we have to allow God to express himself through us. Jesus, by the way, Jesus was the only one who gave the world the perfect look at God. Okay? Living through man. God, you know, when we see Jesus, that was God living through man. But so we will never be the express image of God in the way that Jesus was. That's not going to happen. But we have the capacity and the potential to express Jesus, God, in a much greater way than we do. Okay? But to do it, you have to change. All right? Change. Growth in your life always means I have to change. And that's where people fall off the wagon. Because most people really don't want to change. As a matter of fact, 82% of you in this room tonight don't want to change. You like it where you are. You're real comfortable in that spot, and you don't want to get out of that spot. But still, if you want to change, That's what you have to do. Because if you're not experiencing any growth in your life, then it may be because you aren't changing. Just give you an example. Did you ever see a plant green and growing and not be in a constant state of change? Someone gave us a plant for Christmas, and we watched it. It was amazing because when we got it, it was this big, I guess. And 2 days later, it was this big. And finally, it was this high. I'm serious. It was like this big, and now it was this high. And then all these beautiful flowers came on it. But that flower was changing. It was growing because it was constantly changing. And guess what? It was evident to everybody that was watching it. All right? And our lives should be just like that. We should be green, growing, and changing. All right? And it should be evident to people around us. Now, the opposite is true, too. If you're not, you're going to change, but some people change in the reverse. Like a plant will die, and you see it change. You see it lush green, then you see the wheat leaves withering. And finally, you just see them all dead because they died. And people do the same. People who don't change wither away. They're not growing anymore. They're stagnant. All right? So we have to be careful of that. The big question is, how do we do this? All right? Well, if you're like a lot of Christians, you probably tried to change many areas of your life. Like, it's New Year's. All right, and everybody's full of resolutions, and you know what's going to happen in 60 days from now with your resolutions. A lot of them, you're just going to find yourself falling back into the same old patterns and experiencing the same old problems that you had before. And that is so frustrating because it's a breeding ground for Satan to come in and feed you lies and set up traps for you. Because we set these things and we try to change things in the natural, okay? And we really can't. And if we aren't careful as Christians, we fail that. We feel like we're failures. And we don't have to feel like we're a failure, all right? And for my personal life, change began in my life in 1976 when I received Jesus. And everything was going really good. You know, I was happy. I was saved. You know, I was a sponge for the things of God. You know? And then in 1980, I had an experience, an encounter with God, if you will. I remember exactly where I was at and what happened when it happened. And I seen a glimpse of how awesome the Lord was, and really what he was wanting me to do, although I didn't change at all at that particular point in my life, I just saw it, and I started to change. But it was a million miles and 2 million miles away from the victories in life he had in store for us. At times, the process seems long, the goals seem far away, you get discouraged, you don't think you're ever going to make it, you know, but you know what, the process is still ongoing. How many of you know you never reach it? Life's a journey. You know, I used to see it in front of vocation school over here on Hooper. It said, life's a journey, get good directions. And life is a journey. And we are on a journey. You know, I know when we speak here a lot of times on Thursday nights with the recovery guys, they're, you know, they say you're in a constant state of recovery. Well, I could understand their concept, but I like to hear them say, I'm recovered, and now life's a journey. But life is basically, if you could use that terminology without getting like really crazy, you're constantly in this state of changing. Amen. It's a change. And as I thought about this, you have to see things from the Word of God, okay? And that revelation came from Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29, which we just read. You know, and in this parable, Jesus uses the example of a seed, all right? Seed time, harvest time. We've taught on that many times about our finances. Well, seed time, harvest time works in any area of your life, all right? Not just in finances, but every area of your life. And Jesus, in this parable, uses the illustration of seed time, harvest time, which everyone understood because they were in an agricultural area, and that's what they understood. And it, to illustrate the truth how God works, and when God, he doesn't change. You know, God hasn't changed from Mark chapter 4. It's still the same, in which very few people understand. First of all, he taught that God's word must be planted like a seed in our hearts. It has to be taken and put in your heart. Seeds, just as a seed doesn't release life until you put it in the ground. You could take a seed and put it up here for 100 years and not going to do nothing. Okay? But, you know, but the minute you plant that seed in the ground, it grows. So you could have your Bible. You could have it. You could carry it around. You could keep it on the table at your house. You could even have it memorized in your head. In your head. Carry it around in your hand. And let me tell you something. It's not going to do anything. It's not sufficient enough until you plant it in your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God that, number one, aren't even saved. There's people that have PhDs that teach religion in college that don't know Jesus Christ. If he came down the street with balloons, you know, that said Jesus on it, they wouldn't recognize him, no way, no how. So just because a person has knowledge doesn't mean they have it in their heart. Because in the heart's where it causes change. Otherwise, just head knowledge. So he taught that. Second, the man in the parable who sowed the seed slept and rose day by day. See, what people don't need to understand, seed takes time to grow. It takes time to grow. It has to germinate. You can't just plant a seed now and come out tomorrow and expect it to have a crop. It doesn't work. You'll kill the seed. And unfortunately, that's what so many Christians want to do. I planted the word in my heart. How come I haven't seen anything? Well, when did you plant it? 20 minutes ago. You know those things that kids get? They're like those little animals. They're like that big. No. And you throw it in water and it becomes a sponge in 2 minutes. Sea monkeys, that's it. You know, this isn't sea monkeys. All right? It's not a sea monkey. And you know, but just because there's nothing visible above the ground doesn't mean that there's nothing, that there isn't anything working in the ground or that the seed isn't growing, all right? And if you dig it up every day to see what's happening, it's never going to grow. You have to have faith in the seed that it's going to do what it's designed to do. You know, people, they love planting tomatoes and, you know, we used to just go already buy them, you know, raised up a little bit. Some people put the seed in the ground and raise them. Well, they have to have faith that a tomato plant's going to grow. And they're not going to get a jalapeno pepper plant out of their seed that they put in the ground. But the seed is going to do what it's designed to do. And so having faith in God's word, planting it in your heart, you have to have faith that it's going to produce what God designed it to produce. Okay? And that's just the way the word works. When we meditate in God's word for one day, we cannot expect a harvest. If you meditate in God's word for one day, don't expect to see your results tomorrow. See, we can't meditate in the word of God the one day and live differently the other six. That's like digging up the seed. takes work. It takes effort to do that, to stay consistent. A lot of people, they aren't consistent. They come to church, they hear a message, they get excited, they leave. That's it till the next time they're in church. And they're all excited, yelling, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Yes, pastor, preach it, hallelujah. Pop the clutch, amen, let's go for it. And see you Easter, that's right. See you next week. Go out there and that's it. They don't. Their Bible just sits home all day long going, read me, read me. You know, they got their word for the day sitting on the table. They got their faith food sitting here, and they got their faith to faith sitting there, and it's all people walk in and go, they must be spiritual. Don't do you any good until you pick it up and read it. Till you plant the seed in the heart. John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Very key words there. If you abide in me and his words abide in you. See, we're already abiding in him because he lives in us. He's abiding in us. We're abiding in him, but are his words abiding in us? You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So the third thing Jesus shares in that parable is one of the most important truths in the whole parable, and this is amazing, the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. That might not like seem like anything to you, but that is an amazing statement because they don't know how seed works. Man, with all our understanding, has not unlocked the miracle of the seed. They've tried, but they haven't. They can make things that look like seeds, that taste like a seed, have the exact chemical element of a seed. But if you plant it in the ground, it don't grow. Because it's a miracle. Nobody knows how. And that blows my mind. I read stories, you know, I search stories out about how they find seeds that are thousands of years old. And then they put them in the ground and they grow. How does it know? Somebody tells, okay, it's time, grow. No, the conditions are right. It's planted. The Word of God, there's 2,000 or 3,000 seeds in here for you. They ain't doing you no good unless you plant them. See, because people, I'm tired of hearing people say, I want to change, I want to change, I want to change. The Word will change you. Talking about it, having debates about it with people is not going to change you. Planting it in your heart will change you. Amen. Okay? And for thousands of years, people have planted seeds and reaped the harvest. Without understanding how it happens, they just know it happens. I don't know how. And I don't understand, and I don't claim to understand how the seed of God's word planted in my heart works. But this I do know. It works. Okay? I can't explain how reading God's word differs from reading the words of some other book other than the fact that these have life in them. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's just turn there and read it. This excites me, Proverbs chapter 4. My son and daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them where? On the dining room table. No, in the midst of your heart, for they are life. To those that find them, and health to your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I don't know how it works, other than I don't know what makes this different, why this seed planted is different than Sports Illustrated, other than the fact that there's life in these words. Supernatural. And I don't pretend to comprehend it all, because I don't know. But I do know it works, because I've experienced the supernatural life that God's word wants to impart to everyone who's willing to take it. That seed, the word, contains the very life of God. It's called the Zoe, the God kind of life. Different. You know, there's another word for life called, it's where we get biology from, the biological part of life. But this is talking about the life that's the essence of God. If you look it up in a Vine's Expository Dictionary or Strong's or something like that, the word Zoe means the essence of God, the God kind of life, Zoe. I had a friend of mine that had a boat, and the name of his boat was called Zoe Life. I like that. The only effort it takes is the time to plant it. Okay? Then the godly change that you're looking for comes effortlessly as the seed takes root in your heart. You see, it's not like rocket science. I'll tell you what a lot of people do. We'll get to it in a minute. But, and this is a simple truth. This is like Christianity 101. This is what Jesus taught in his parables. You Mark chapter 4, it's all it's about. Seed, seed, seed. Every time Jesus talked, it was about seed. Why? Because that's the way the word of God works. All right? People are looking for some spectacular encounter with God that's going to transform their lives instantly. Far and few in between, my friend. That happens, and there's no doubt about it. But that's not the norm. All right? If people want they want to microwave their miracle rather than allow for the seed of God to produce it in their hearts. Amen. You ever microwave something? Take a day-old bread, put it in the microwave. Get one of them Cinnabons that gets hard, real hard. Get a Dunkin' Donuts. Let it be 3 or 4 days old. Then stick it in the microwave. It becomes nice and soft. Leave it out for 10 more minutes. Bro, you could break a window with it. That's the way people treat God. Their miracle that they get, microwaved miracle, gets stale real quick. And some people are willing to spend hours in prayer asking for a miracle instead of planting the word of God in their hearts, which in time will produce a miracle. Prayer is the water, is what waters and fertilizes the seeds you plant. So prayer is important. Don't miss that. But I hear people praying for things. Why don't you just find it in the word of God, meditate in it, plant it in your heart, and then start thanking God for it every day. And water it with your prayers. Because all that turns out to be, I'll tell you, well, we'll get to it. I'm not ready. Prayer is the water and the fertilizer. They help the word release its life. But if you haven't planted a seed, I don't care how much water you pour on it, how much fertilizer you apply, the soil still won't produce fruit because there's no seed. prayer is not a substitute for planting the seed of God's word in your heart. Prayer without the word of God is religious as at its best and complaining at its worst. That's it. Think about what I just said. Prayer without the word is religious. At best, it's religious. And complaining at its worst. I remember one time, you know, I'm not King Jamesian, you know, but I remember I used to go into some churches and the preacher would get up there and they play all these it's like, dear God, I don't pray with King James language. And you kind of like think you need to pray like, oh, thank you, dear Lord, for, you know, and I'm thinking, but that's not me. Because we get, this is the formula for it. No, God's looking at your heart. He's looking at the word that's in your heart. Because you can memorize prayers. It's funny, a lot of times when I first started doing funerals, I didn't know, you know, they give you this minister's book manual, like for doing funerals and all this other kind of stuff. And it was like all in King James, you know what I mean? It was all Elizabethan theme. And I looked at that, I go, there's no way I could go up there. So I was in a funeral parlor one day, and years ago they used to have little cards to pray. So I look at the little card, I go, well, it's not exactly King James. So I took that card and tweaked it. Because I never did a funeral, so Now I just, when I go do it, it's here. It's seed that is germinated, and now I pray. I don't even need to read the prayer. Sometimes you want to read it so you don't mess, you know, so you don't get the person's name wrong, you know. You ever been to a funeral where the person up there got the wrong person's name? Oh, I have never done it, but I've seen it done. That's embarrassing, you know. But that's besides the point. That was a little extra. Anyway, here, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 gives us another key to effortless change in our life. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word transformed is translated from the Greek, which is where we get the word metamorphosis, you know. And it's describing the miraculous change, and this I love, that happens to a caterpillar as it turns into a butterfly. That caterpillar just sits, don't do a thing. There's a lot going on in that little cocoon. You ever tear one of them up, it's ugly. So when you start renewing your mind to the Word of God, it gets ugly. Because the Word of God will start showing you stuff you really don't want to know about. It'll start telling you to change things you really don't want to change. So it's kind of like that little cocoon that the caterpillar went in, and there's a lot of little stuff going on inside that little cocoon. And if you ever tore one apart, it looks ugly, but it's amazing that beautiful butterfly that comes out of the cocoon. And so it's describing a change, miraculous change. And if we want to be changed, like into a butterfly, then we have to start renewing our minds. That's part of the planting process. See, a lot of people don't want to read the Word because they want to have a lot of knowledge of different things in the Word of God. You know? And I have a lot of knowledge of different debatable doctrines, I call them, from the Word of God. You know? And some people pride themselves, they have all this knowledge about that. Bro, that's not going to change your life. It's going to gender strife. Is what it does, because you get around somebody that maybe doesn't believe that. You know, like one of the things, and my wife, now we're married, going to be 47 years in May. Okay? So we're married 46 years, and I believe that the giants that were in the Old Testament, I better not even go there. I'm just not going to go there tonight. I got to go home and sleep comfortably. No. Anyway. Anyway, praise the Lord. One day I'm going to teach on that. I used to teach on it a lot, but you know what? Other people, I've heard other preachers preach the same thing, convincing me they might be right. So I would call them doctrines that gender strife more than any. My question is, does it have anything to do with going to heaven? No. Does it going to change you? No. Then don't worry about it. Use verses like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, that'll change you. We're trying to figure out if there's a trillion year gap between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, not going to prove nothing. Although I happen to believe it does. Hey, you know how that is. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, no, I'm not talking about giants. You know, I know where I was at, though. Can't have a harvest without planting the seed. All right? But we realize that in the natural, you could go in your backyard, rototill all the land, do everything you got to do, fertilize it, do everything you want. But in the natural, we understand if you don't put a seed there, you're not going to get anything. But in the spiritual, Christians try to do it all the time. Instead of going to the Word of God and meditating in the Scriptures themselves, say it again, if you're watching on the internet, instead of going to the Word, meditating in the Word, you run to somebody who spent time in the Word and ask them for help. And that is a shortcut, an attempt to shortcut the process of seed time, harvest time. And Christians don't like to hear that. Now, you might get some help. You might get some spiritual guidance. But if you find yourself constantly running to somebody because you got a problem, you're not growing. Amen. Listen. This might sound funny, but think about it. You get a 15-year-old kid come to you saying, Mommy, change my diaper. You'd think there's something wrong, wouldn't you? But we don't have a problem with a 1-year-old saying that. Do we? Why? Because they haven't grown yet. So when you get a 20-year-old Christian that's saying, change my diaper, you've got a problem. They got a problem. Get the pens. Oh, well. And what happens? Well, anyway. But what happens is if a person doesn't see the results, they get confused and offended. God will meet you through the faith of other people. Don't misunderstand me. But it's temporary. It's secondary. It's a secondary way of God touching you. God's best is to take the seed and plant it. That's God's best. Let me see. And we'll be coming to an end here in a minute. And I've used these illustrations before, but have you ever seen an apple tree grown in travail to produce an apple? Why? How come an apple tree don't just start saying, I hope I get apples and not oranges this year? Because everything produces after its own kind. That's a principle God set in the Word of God in Genesis. Everything produces after its own kind. In nature, if an apple tree is to bring forth apples, it's to bring forth. That's just the nature. You can't change it. All right? And we should be producing spiritual fruit. Do you know that that's our nature? To produce spiritual fruit? Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, faithfulness. Yes. That's our nature. Yes. That's what we're designed to do. Especially after you're saved and the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the fruit of the fruit of the human spirit as indwelt by the Holy Spirit's nature is to produce fruit. Not to produce hatred, unforgiveness. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, and so we have a part to play. God has never planted a seed or tended a field for anyone. He said, God, give me love. He already did. Pastor, pray for peace. Why? You already got it. What do I have to pray for it for? Jesus says, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you. Here, you want me to pray for peace? I'll give you pray for peace that the world gives you. You don't want that kind of peace because it could change at any second. You know, but we have a part to play. Like I said, God's never planted or tended a field for anybody. The natural part we have to do. We have to plant it. All right? It's up to us to consistently plant the word in our hearts. Abide in that word. Meditate in that word. Water it, nourish it with prayer. Speaking positively over the word and the seed that's been planted in our heart. If we'll make that small effort to do that, the miracle of the seed, the life that's in the seed, the Zoe kind of life that's in the seed, will do the rest. And your life will change. Your life will change. I think we make the Christianity too hard. It's not hard. The reason it seems hard, you guys can get ready. The reason it seems hard is because we've been trained for so many years a different way, difficult. And it's like when you're going to do anything new, change seems a little bit difficult because it goes contrary to what we've been believing in, what people have told us, and everything else. It's contrary to that. But really, once you start doing it, it becomes natural to do that. You know, how many's ever been in the military? Okay, how many's when you went to basic training? Bro, that was unnatural. And people yelling in your ear, making your bed get up and do this and do that. But you know what? After a month or two in there, it was natural for you to get up, and the first thing you did was make your bed.
Amen.
Nobody had to yell at you. Nobody had to tell you. And most military guys still do it.
Yep.
Still fold their clothes, roll their socks, do all that kind of stuff. 2 inches between the two fingers, between the hangers. Why? Because it's in you. It was planted there by some guy with a wide-brimmed hat like this, yelling, hey, you! Leave me alone, I'm fragile. Yeah, get down and do 20 push-ups. See how fragile you are. So it's not hard. It's just different from what we're used to doing. It's the same thing with a person who goes to a gym and works out. When they first start going and they've never done it before, it is the most unnatural and hardest and frustrating thing in the world. But you know what? Once they get in the zone, it becomes natural. Well, the Christian life is not hard. It's easy. If you start to abide in the Word will transform you. And God's perfect will come to pass in your life. That's the whole purpose of the Word, for to have effortless change in your life. But if we don't put the Word in there, take your Bible off your shelf. You know, my wife, for the last 2 weeks, been not feeling, she's been catching a healing. But one thing she has not neglected to do is to read the Word of God. And the reason I say that, because the last couple of days, I usually read some of my devotionals and stuff like that, and I haven't. So today I figured, well, I'll catch up on it all. I read them all. I said, did you see what Kenneth Copeland said on the 3rd? She goes, because I just read it today, you know. And she read it already. I'm thinking, man, I didn't see her do that. But see, the Word keeps getting planted and 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 planted. And you need to keep watering and watering and watering and watering and watering. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Being spiritually minded is being word minded. And God's word is the seed. And our hearts are the soil. And the godly change is the fruit that every single one in this room longs for. And the only way it's ever going to happen is not by hearing eloquent sermons. It's by taking the Word of God and meditating in it. Not worrying about the verse of Scripture I opened up with today. Or all the different points I've given. That's not it. Not getting a test. You know what I mean? If you're in Bible school, you're going to get a test. But you're not going to get a test on it. Your life depends on it. So the best thing to do is open a book. Don't try to memorize everything. Just let your heart be a library of the Word of God. I had a little man that used to say that. Actually, it was John G. Lake's father-in-law, Wilford Wright. He was a man of God. Loved the Word, stood on the Word. And he always said, let your heart be a library of the Word of God. I said, I can't remember all those verses. He said, you don't have to remember the verses. Just plant them in your heart. And when you need them, God will bring them to you. Amen. And then we change. And before you know it, you're like, wow, I'm not the people looking. You go, what's happened to them? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.